The UFO Files, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have a very, very interesting fellow here who, what's the name of your company?
It's Problems, Solutions, Innovations.
And you're out of Alamogordo, New Mexico?
Alamogordo, New Mexico, right.
Mm-hmm. And you actually teach this as well as you have some corporate clients, too. So, Lynn Buchanan, before we go any further, we left the last segment talking about listening to your body, and from you learned this in the military, in the U.S. Army. I assume you didn't join to become something like this. I mean, they just chose you at random, or how did that work?
No, I was a linguist. I was a Russian, German, Mongolian, Spanish linguist.
And now would that help doing remote viewing behind the Iron Curtain, being a linguist, or I guess actually wouldn't have any bearing on it, would it?
It really doesn't have any bearing on it. However, knowing what's going on behind the Iron Curtain, of course, would, because it would let you sort of interpret better what you're getting.
And I assume I use that that demonstration or that explanation simply because I assume this really came to the forefront during the Cold War.
It did, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. As far as the body thing is concerned, controlled remote viewing is actually a martial art. It's a physical discipline, not necessarily a mental one. And we start off the very first day of training by teaching you a sort of a form of wax on, wipe off. We teach you, for instance, anytime we say the word land, to make a mark on a paper. And that mark is symbolic of land. Then we go water. You know, usually that's a straight line. Then we go water, and usually people draw a wavy line, and so on. We get people so trained in this, just like in a martial arts studio, they have you go through the little katas, the little movements, thousands of times, and we do this with the students. And then we take that, once that gets ingrained in their body, their subconscious now knows how to tell you land and water and other things that we teach. And so we start saying, okay, here's a site, and here's a target site, and we have the picture of it in the envelope, and we're going to tell you the number that's on the envelope, and you let your subconscious tell us what's there. And so they'll take the numbers down, and then this squiggle comes up, and they look at it, and they say, well, I don't know what's in the envelope, but there's land and water and something man-made. We take the picture out of the envelope, and sure enough, there's a boat sitting in the water at the dock.
How long of a class normally does it take, or does it vary by the student?
It varies by the student. Now, we have 3 days of training, and so we try to work it on the weekend because that makes people take the fewer days off of work. But we have 3 days of training. But then we send you home with all kinds of work to do, exercises to do. We keep in touch with you. We database everything you do. We sign you up for a students-only email list where the students get together and talk. And we start including you in controlled remote viewing, community activities, and so on. And then a person after the basic course will take anywhere from 6 months to a year of practice. And they're ready to come back for the intermediate course. And then generally they take 6 months to a year after that with more practice and ingraining things into their system. And they come back for the advanced course. Now, in the advanced course, you learn things like how to copy documents that are locked in safes. How to draw the floor plans of the building where the hostage is being held, details like that. It's a long way from making a squiggle that says land to copying a document that's locked in a safe.
You have an assignment of critical lives, like a hostage situation or kidnapping or whatever. Is it easy to go back to it on your next session, or do you just have to stay with it until you get the answer?
No, it's easy to go back to it on the next session. In fact, the more times you visit a site, the generally easier it gets to do it.
You just sit down at the table, and you have your tablet and your pencil or pen, and you think, I'm going back to Fidel's barber. That's where I was last week.
Actually, we never let you know what you're going back to. We may have Fidel's barber this week. What's going on in the British Parliament next week and so on. And then somewhere in between there, we may have you go back to the barber, but we never let you know. We just say...
What's the reasoning behind it?
When the viewer has any information at all, your imagination kicks in, your logic kicks in, and it so pollutes everything that that very weak signal from the subconscious mind just gets drowned out.
So in other words, it's kind of a quality check.
That's right. In fact, there's a there's what we call the NAG, the namer and guesser. The analogy is Ugg and Og were walking through the primeval forest and they heard a twig snap behind them. Ugg immediately thought, saber-toothed tiger, and took off running. Og turned around and said, what's that? Well, guess whose descendants we are? You know, it's inborn in us to name something. And one of the first bits of training, so locked into a sight of a fire and a fire truck and go into a fire and all that. But if I can keep you from saying it's a fire truck and have you say it's big, it's red, it's noisy, it's mechanical, it moves, you know, and so on, then you never lock yourself into that. There are a lot of big, noisy, mechanical things that move, and, you know, if we can keep your logic out of it, then your subconscious mind can go ahead and fill the information through and can give us all the details and information we need about a site.
It seems to me then you must turn this material over to somebody for interpretation if you're trying to stay objective.
That's right. The government never planned for this to be a single operation, you know, single person operation. And so we would have monitors who would keep us on strict protocols. We would have the viewers. We would then turn those over to analysts, and the analyst would know what the target was, so they would know how to analyze the information and interpret it. Then we had report writers, and then we had an interface person who to deal with the customer and so on. We still try to do that. In the civilian world, it's a little bit harder, but we still have an organization with the assigned witness program and with my company where we can work with the police and all that in an organized manner.
What kind of clients do you think would most use this technology, for lack of a better term? I guess that's what it is.
We have a lot of businesses that are just suddenly taking off in the marketplace, and their competitors don't know what the edge is that they have, and they're finding information that will... just, you know,
a little industrial espionage.
No, we are very careful not to do that. However, as a business planner, what effect do you think it would have on a business to never make a bad decision?
Interesting. I tell you, we're going to let you go have your meal here, but you'll have to come back and be with us again. How about people? Once again, let's tell them how they can find you.
Okay, the website is CRVIEWER. That's CRViewer.com.
Of course, we have a link to that in connection with the show on our website at JerryPippin.com. But might write that down. It'll come in handy down the line. And as far as people, you take both corporate and individual clients.
Yes. Now, most corporate clients will want secrecy, and the corporate classes that we have are, of course, closed to the public, but the public ones are listed on a calendar right there on the website.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment with more UFO Files.